Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today we have a super special episode where we're going to get to talk about what the Lord has been doing over this summer here at Grace in kids' lives. We have a stacked crew today that I'm super pumped to talk with. Do you guys just want to introduce yourself, Christy, if you want to start?
Yeah, I'm Christy Farga. I am the children's director at our Bath campus.
And I'm River Harder. I'm the student ministry pastor at our Akron East campus.
And I am Emily Rohr. I am our children's men director over at the Norton campus.
That's awesome. And the time of this episode is coming out, River actually just became a pastor. So this is going to be released like this coming Saturday. Yeah. So
that's exciting.
Super exciting. Props to River. Everyone congratulate him if you have his phone number. And if not, then I'll give it to you. Okay. So I want to start this off. Christy, I'm just going to go with you because everyone tells me you're the seasoned vet. You've been around. I've actually
make me old or
no, we're not saying that. We're not saying that.
20 years.
The amount of people that have told me you have invented like Power Kids and like everything that we do here with like children's ministry is like the amount of people is like I can't even count or remember anymore, which is crazy. So I just wanted to ask you, how have you seen camps and the different ways that volunteers and leaders pour into kids set a foundation for their faith? That can make a long-lasting impact.
Oh, I love that question. I actually grew up at the Bath campus before it was Bath campus. So I went through a children's ministry of sort, you know, back in the 80s, in the 1900s. And then I went from being in it to volunteering in it. And then I went, felt a call to ministry. And it was right when we started the Bath campus, when Pastor Jeff came. And we became two campuses and started this 30 and 30 journey. Mm-hmm. And I've had a passion for kids, you know, my whole life. And so I like jumped right into wanting to lead that. And Jeff came with a vision for the importance of it. Like we started the Bath campus with a focus on kids. And so year one, we had evening Bible camp.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that has grown to Bible camp because we had to go to the morning. And then this past year, we grew to a thing called Wonder Camp at the Bath campus because we wanted to reach kids of all interests. But the foundation of it is kind of what your question was. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think the language of kids is like fun is a language of kids. They're familiar with it. So like when you have inflatables and you have fun stuff, kids are drawn to that. They want to come to it. Yeah. But what keeps them coming is the relationships that they build with people.
Yeah.
So our goal was always like get to know the kids and then let the person who got to know the kids be the one to like talk to them about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they might go to a Bible story time and hear the gospel, but then it's in that relationship that they build with their counselor or their volunteer or however you word that, that it usually clicks with a kid and they like make that decision and that response. So I don't know if that fully answers your question or not, but that's what I've seen is kids come because they want to have fun. Parents are like, what is this? Oh, sure, take my kid, you know. But then as you build that relationship with them over the week, you're able to like share what you know about the gospel and what God has done in your life with that kid. And I think very strongly that a kid, even at a very young age, can grasp who God is and that Jesus loves them. And that what he did for them on the cross becomes a real decision that they make for themselves in life. And we've seen, we saw so much of it happen at events like Bible camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized, oh, it's because we're intentional about taking that time to talk to them on an individual level that we're like, oh, we need to do that more, I don't know, every weekend. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's what I've seen is it's the relational side of things. Because of the fun that brought them.
That is so cool. I just I think that's fascinating because so many, I feel like the culture in our world would be like, when they look at the kid, they would tell you, I don't want to have one-on-one conversations. So the fact that that's actually a thing that like makes them feel loved.
Yeah.
It, like is the heart of Jesus. That's really cool. River, I'm going to pull you into this. I don't want to share any of your story, but I think this is a pretty cool thing because like Christy, you went through Power Kids.
Yep.
Right. And then you worked for Christy.
Yep. Oh.
And now you're doing your own thing. So like walk me through what that journey's been like.
Dude, so one of my favorite things, so I about 20 years ago, I would have been a Power Kid.
That's wild.
20, not, if not 18 years ago, 20 years ago. And there's a picture of me on stage with Miss Christy. Mm. And yeah. I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. And I'm just a little 5-6-year-old River. And my grandparents have it in some scrapbook. And then like at the end of the scrapbook, there's me on stage with Miss Christy as an intern in Power Kids. Wow. And I'm like, holy cow. Yeah. Like, this thing's legit. It's like one of the coolest things ever to see that. And that's like, it's
also for me.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think the beauty of it is like what Power Kids and Student Ministries create is a safe space for kids to interact with loving adults who genuinely care about them so that they can interact with Jesus. Mm. And like, that's just what it was. It's not, I think it's like you get the seeds of Jesus loves you. He wants to be your best friend forever. And he, like, God made you, God loves you. He wants to be your friend forever. And then that safe truth, that safe place and that truth that you hear just develops over time with the consistency that adults that just keep showing up in your lives. Like Vinny Fisher, he was at Momentum. He's one of my life group leaders that showed up for me in high school. And like, he's like a result of all this stuff too. Like he was someone who was like, hey, we don't lie to each other about stuff we go through. Like, how are you doing? And like, he like to this day, he'll do that to me. And I'll be like, I'm not doing good or I'm doing great. And like, he's like, we're just honest because that's what we do. We tell the truth about what we're going through. And like, it's people like him, people like the volunteers that we all interact with on a weekly basis that show up over and over and over again and just don't quit, who just create spaces for kids like I was to know Jesus. And even in the midst of like hard times, like you're going through a breakup or you're going through like just tense situations at home, like they're just able to navigate those things with you. And like you also, it's not just that, but you build that camaraderie with like the students you interact with around you. So I just remember like the value of being a part of a team of people in that grade you're with adults who you trust, who love Jesus. Man, if it wasn't for any of that stuff, like I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Like I just like, I know I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And are you asking as like out of the professional level of this stuff?
Yeah, like, you can go down that road too.
Okay. So yeah, I started in Power Kids and a little bit like I felt called into ministry at Momentum Youth Conference, which was where we just got back from the other week. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So cool to see all the life change that happens there. But I remember at 17, shortly after I started to follow Jesus, I went to Momentum and Jesus just clicked in a deep, deep way. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bogue, he was the Saturday night speaker. And I remember he was talking about how hard ministry is and stuff like that. And like, it's a really great way to live. It's a hard way to make a living. And I think he was right. But I remember hearing that and him saying, if you feel called to go into full-time vocational ministry, come on down here. And I'm like, good for everyone else, not for me. I'm out. And then just at Momentum, just felt the Holy Spirit prompting in me, like, you need to go do this. And like I couldn't sit where I was anymore. And I remember being at, like, if you could be as far away from the stage as possible, that was me. I was all the way at the back with my friends on like the second level next to my girlfriend, and like just like, I'm gonna be an architect, I'm gonna marry this girl, and we're gonna have kids and a huge farm and all that stuff. And I was like, I had this whole plan, and then I saw the plan and I was like, do I want this or do I want what God wants for me? Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere I just stood up and I went all the way down there and I was like, I don't know what I'm signing up for, but I'm in. And since that one step of faithfulness, God's opened a million more doors of steps for me to take too. And one of those was joining Power Kids. There's an opportunity to go and step into an internship position with 4- and 5-year-olds. And I was like, 4- and 5-year-olds, why would anyone want to do this? And I remember at first, like, someone had me step in as a volunteer and try out. And I remember after the very first time just, like, volunteering, I was like, oh, my goodness, these aren't just kids. These are people who have real problems, who have maybe no other safe space in their life. Mm-hmm. And there's just something in that moment as that volunteer for the first time where I just like, my heart just broke. And I'm like, I got to talk to a kid. I'm like, I know he doesn't have a dad. And like me being in this room is the closest thing he has to that. Mm-hmm. And I just like in that moment, my heart was just like, oh, I'll never leave. Like I'll do this until until it's like very clear God doesn't want me to be here, I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. And that just changed the way I looked at like every person, because I realized everyone is made in the image of God, and everyone needs to like have someone willing to go and just like be inconvenienced to make Jesus make sense to them. Mm-hmm. And Power Kids was like the perfect ground for me to learn to do that. And then I was there for about two, maybe a little bit more than 2 years. And God just, he did some crazy stuff. We'll say he did some crazy stuff in my life. And I felt a little bit of a call to leave Power Kids and go into this new, go through this new door. And really, if I'm honest, like there wasn't a lot of clarity to where I was going. I didn't know if I was going overseas to do mission work. I didn't know if there was like go to a different Grace Church campus. And like there were three opportunities and it was like, not this one, not this one, not this one. And I had nothing left. And then out of nowhere, I was like the last person in the office here. And Chris Amon walks to the door like, hey, there's like a church who just lost their youth pastor. They're going through some stuff. Would you be willing to go and tell these kids about Jesus? And I'm like, dude, I'll tell anyone about Jesus. Are they there? Like, if they're there and they want to hear about Jesus, I'll tell them about Jesus. And so I went to this church, and it was the middle of all this crazy stuff in my life. And I met these kids, and I just fell in love with working with high schoolers and middle schoolers. And just seeing people perceive the gospel, take it seriously, and be like, I can't hold this to myself. I need to tell other people about it. And I know I'm rambling a little bit and telling a little bit of the whole story, but out of that moment of faithfulness, Aaron Key, one of our campus pastors at Stark North, steps in the room and he's like, hey, River, if you want to hang out, let me know. And like, he talks to me. I go and I meet with him like 2 days later and he's like, I've been looking for an intern. Do you want the job? I'm like, yeah, like that'd be awesome. Like, this sounds like exactly what I want to do with my life. And
he did not get my permission before that.
Yeah, I was like, that sounds great. Yeah, so we had to talk about that. But he did. But it was just like God clearly opening doors in really, really cool ways. And I don't know, the people who, like, Aaron was my youth pastor, and it was another person who just never quit on me, like, step in a moment and just, like, show me another door, and, like, I got to take a step of obedience with Jesus with that person, so.
But even in that, like, I remember watching your struggle of leaving here.
Oh, my goodness.
Because of the impact that those kids had had on your life and how you saw how God was using you. You were like, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, River, you have to leave for the next person to show up and do that in their life and have the next voice. And that was like, I think, a release for you. And then a life lesson, you know, like, you are not God to them. You know, you are a part of their story to point them to God.
And like, if you do the job the right way, like, you all know this, like, they'll remember at least how you were there for them.
How long
like,
ago did you go?
5 years ago is when
I
left.
And just this past winter, a kid said, would you think Mr. River would come baptize me?
Oh, my.
Because the impact you made when she was in 4 and 5.
And I was like,
5 years later.
Yeah.
And when she was getting baptized, she was like, I want Mr. River to do that.
And she was like, I was like, tell me about Jesus and like, why do you want to do this? And she just told me the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're 9, 10?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, of course I'll baptize you. You get who Jesus is.
Yep.
And like, I got back from Momentum and she was picking up her sister.
Aww.
And she like sprints over to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Those are the moments.
This is like little moments. And she's like, hi. And I'm like, oh, hi. Like, you know.
My favorite memory. Fun. We had like the staircase going down to Junior Power Kids where you served. And this, I was standing at the bottom of it. And this little girl was walking down the stairs with her parents. And she was like, I hope Mr. River is here today. Oh. And you weren't. And I was just like,
I'm so sorry. Hate to let you down. But,
oh, I love that.
No, but like, it's like, I think it's the people who, and again, I wouldn't be here without those people who I was excited. I can't wait to go see Pastor Brad and Todd.
Yeah. And do you know that you talked about Vinny Fisher?
Yeah.
Do you know he taught 2s and 3s? Probably, it could be around the era that you were in there. For several years, then he took a break and he started in 2nd and 3rd grade, and he realized he was getting a second round of life investment in these kids years later.
Then
he did that for many years, and then he moved to middle school high school ministry, and he got like a third round of it.
Yeah, wow.
And I was just like, if all of you just want to sign up for 2s and 3s, start there. No. This like that investment that you feel from him was your lifelong.
It's lifelong. And like, I got to grow up with like his kids.
Yeah.
And like, it's so fun when you're a parent and you're parenting other kids' parents. Like, he was like, he's not my dad, but he was like dad in a couple ways to me. Like, yeah, he got to show up, and because he saw what we were going through, he was better able to parent his kid. There's so much depth of knowledge you learn from just showing up and being consistent in kids' lives. Yeah. And it makes you just a better Christ follower, a better parent, it makes you like a lifelong friend as well. So it's really cool stuff.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Emily, how long have you been on staff here at Grace?
Yeah, so my role to ministry looks a little different than maybe you guys. I've only been on staff for 3 years. Okay. 2 years in my current role of full time. And I originally went to school to be a second grade teacher. Like I went for education. I taught second grade for a few years, and I knew my whole life I wanted to be a teacher, is what I thought. And so I kind of had my identity in that. And then when I was in it, it was COVID time. So that had some, things in there too. But I'm like, God, this is what I wanted to do with my life, and I hate this, and I'm not enjoying it. I don't feel like this is where you want me. So my quick version is, somebody told me I should apply for a role at the Barberton campus, had a part-time position open. A couple people told me. So I went in for that interview, and I had done some student teaching at Barberton, so I was like, oh, I gotta be a shoo-in. I know Barberton. And God made that very clear. Joel called me in the nicest way, let me down. I didn't get it. And I'm like, people told me I should do this. Like, I thought this would make sense. And it's one of those moments of like, God closed the door on purpose. And so I kind of went home, and I was like, I never thought I'd see myself in ministry. Like, never thought about it before, but I actually feel this stirring in my heart. Like, I really wanted to step into that. So I kind of had this thing with God. I'm like, God, I'm not going to go Google children's ministry jobs. Like, I'm not going to start looking. But I've always kind of said, like, God, if this is something you want me in, like, put a sign in my front yard, like, make it super obvious. And probably about 6 months later, something like that, I went in for a meeting with Dan. I've never been in a meeting with Dan before. Just called a meeting with him. And I said, I have some questions for you. And he said, yeah, I have a question for you too. And I'm thinking, like, as my pastor, he's going to be like, what's God teaching you right now? And he was like, we've got this role part-time we want you to step into. It's yours if you want it. And so felt like a sign in my front yard.
A little bit.
And so I stepped into that. So I was part-time for a year, and I worked under Sherry Jones. And if you know Sherry Jones,
legend,
she is amazing.
Taught me everything. Yeah,
I love her. And everybody else loves Miss Sherry too. And when I found out Miss Sherry was wanting to retire, they had asked me to step into this role. And so I've been in this space for 2 years now, leading our team. We're a team of five over at our campus in Power Kids. And I never saw myself in ministry, but God did. And so I've just seen his faithfulness over and over. I mean, it's very clear as to why I didn't get a part-time role at Barberton, because God dated me where I am.
Yeah.
And so kind of led me there.
That's fantastic. And so what's cool is you kind of already had that burden of like, I want to work with kids.
Yeah.
Why did you want to work with kids?
Yeah, so I, in the same way that you guys have expressed, had people invest in me. And so I love the joy that comes from kids. I love the fun aspect. Like, I think you had mentioned this, Christy, like, kids can understand much more than I think sometimes we think they can. And so I had always kind of had this heart for kids and their brains and their hearts and what they like to do. And so I went down the education route because I loved kids, and God obviously knew I needed to be here for my heart for kids. And so this just felt like a combination of loving Jesus and loving kids and getting to do them both together.
That's so fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I always say, I was at like a funeral here once, and a family walked in with kids, and the kid, it was her first time in a church. And I was like, your memory of church is going to be this. So I've always said, if it's the only time a kid is going to be in our building, whether it's for a Bible camp or one Sunday their friend brought them or one Sunday they came, like, I want it to be a good memory. So like, that's why the fun is so important. Like, some people might think, oh, they're just kids, they're just having fun with them, oh, they're just distracting them so that we can have service. You have to have that element, you know, and you have to have like the safety so that the parents feel secure. but oh, the impact that you can make and the way that they understand. Mm-hmm. And the older they get, like you have to, like you said it, you have to work that out.
Yeah.
But when you have that foundation to go back to, like I'm sure you can tell the difference in student ministries of kids that have that foundation that don't, even in adult ministry, like people who have that foundation versus don't, like it's what you go back to. It's like your heart language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having that, the foundation being built on Jesus and his love for you is your heart language to like go back to. And it doesn't mean that life is great, and it doesn't mean you don't have hard things. Mm-hmm. It just means that like it's just a different thing.
I think I just had a conversation with this dude last night. So so Nick made a joke. He's going to send everyone my number. I was at Momentum. I did this power track, and I put my number on the wall. I was like, hey, if you got questions, text me. I was like, what a mistake. Not really. It's actually a joy. I got 50 texts were like, hey, I'm going back home. How do I make a difference in my in my hometown, in my home church?
Let me just text you an answer real quick to that.
And I'm like, okay, we should probably like get your youth pastor involved, and I'll talk, and we'll talk, and it'll be great. But I was answering a couple of those questions last night about 2 nights ago at a wedding. After the rehearsal, there's this one dude, and he hears me ask this question. This kid's like, I'm an atheist. I was an atheist, but now I'm like, I think there's God, and I don't know how to make sense of Jesus. Help me understand this thing. And this dude that I'm with, he just sits down. He's like, I want to talk to you about Jesus. My experience was like, church and Jesus is not fun. And I was forced to go. And it's something we had to do. And I had to wear a suit and the button-up shirt. And I'm like, man, like, no part of that sounds like something I want to be a part of. And like we got to unpack until like 3 a.m. with this dude, like following Jesus is fun. And it was like kind of a transformational thing, because it was like 3 of my buddies who are all in on like making Jesus like fun and make sense to people. And this dude is just like, you guys are like different. Like this is different. And like it was actually like the kind of like, I think Jesus is actually a fun person, you know? And I think at the end, he's like, man, after talking to you guys, like I think I need to have more conversations. So, like, we're praying for this.
Jesus turned the wine into special, or the water into special party drink.
We literally just talked about that the next day.
We don't say wine in power. We say special party drink.
I love it. Yeah. So, man, we say Jesus had a good time. That's right.
But I love that aspect of like, following Jesus is fun, because I think that's where, like, Bible camp, junior camp, momentum. Like, don't get me wrong, it's exhausting. But there's, like, an energy and a joy that comes from being with kids, whether they're fours and fives coming to Bible camp, whether they're high schoolers going to Momentum, there's a joy and a fun that you can see Jesus come alive. That is just different. And I think those spaces are really cool, not only for kids, but I've seen that with adults too. I would say our Bible camp this year, like Bible camp's for kids, but I would say this year the most out of any, I've seen like adults come alive again. We had somebody from our church, she's actually one of our pastor's moms, and has kind of walked through a lot this year. And she's, I think, in her 80s. And she used to do an after-school program, which she talked about Jesus. And so after a really hard year, I said, hey, would you step in and kind of have one-on-one conversations with kids at Bible camp? It's what she did forever. And seeing her come alive, having this sweet 80-year-old woman with all of these experiences, and being able to plug her in, like she had the joy of Jesus from having conversations with these kids at Bible camp that like, I just feel like lit her up. And I think we can just see that over and over of like, following Jesus is fun, but then it also like goes to each person as you're seeing that. It's like, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. And it's just, it radiates out of everybody. And it gets an excitement going.
But it takes time. You're like, I was there with them till 3 a.m. Like, that doesn't happen in a quick conversation. And that's why camps are so important. Because Sunday morning, Saturday night, you have like 45 minutes, an hour with them. You get a camp where it's a couple hours with them every day for a week straight. You take a junior camp where you're with them every day, all day for a whole week. And like the supernatural power of that like compounds, where the impact is just incredible.
I did the math at Momentum. I was like, how many Wednesday, how many Wednesday nights am I getting back from this camp? It was 100. It was 52 nights. And I'm like, that's 1 year of Wednesday nights.
But if Wednesday night were back to back to back.
And they're just like, and the stuff you realize in that week about your life, like I was meeting with a student like an hour ago, and he was just like coming back from momentum. He's like, man, like I literally prayed. He went Saturday night, he had a breakthrough moment with us and the mm-hmm. guys in the room, and he was just like, oh my goodness, God loves me and he's mm-hmm. never left me. Mm-hmm. And he just like the
such a simple foundational yeah. truth.
And then he went back,
so hard to
and
accept.
He's like, Lord, he got back on Monday, he's like, Lord, here's my relationship, do what you want with it. Ooh. An hour later she broke up with him. Wow. And he's like, darn it, this stinks. Like, so we're meeting, processing a bunch of this stuff, and I'm like, dude, God's pruning you. So it's like, that's what he's pruning you, so you can be more fruitful. And like, mm-hmm. we had that conversation, and like, he was only recipient to hearing that because we just did a week of like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then we had one moment where he clicked. He's like, oh, I'm all in on this. Yeah. If this is what following Jesus is, I'm all in on this. Mm-hmm. And in the moment where it's like, oh, and my thing I put my hope in, the other thing I put my hope in left me. So now all I have is Jesus mm-hmm. and I don't know what else. And I'm like, mm-hmm. like, what a great all place. What a great place to build on. Mm-hmm. And he's like ready to build there. So.
Yeah.
And you only get that from doing the camp thing with them.
100%.
It was amazing.
Time together, I like to say it, microwaves. I get Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You get time.
Because it's like, you would do in 1 hour in Power Kids on a Sunday, you're getting so much more than that. And so not only relationally with friends, with counselors and volunteers, but also
away from home life, away from technology, away out in God's creation. My favorite memory ever of junior camp was a year a counselor like had a one-on-one conversation with the kid about Jesus, and the kid had like understood the gospel and was ready to like stop there and pray and invite Jesus into their life, but she just got insecure in a second, and so she came and found me and was like, what do I do? And I was like, you pray with her, you know. I'm like, I'm not gonna you just did all the hard work, I can't steal that from you, you do it. And so the two of them, I mean, just clear as day. This was like 15 years ago, but clear as day, sobbed through, saying words, repeating words, both of them crying, like watching the Holy Spirit come into one life and watching the Holy Spirit completely transform another, you know, was just like, it's my favorite memory of camp.
That's so cool. Like, and I'm like, those things you can't, we had a girl decided to follow Jesus last week at Momentum. There's been a lot of people decide to do that.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. They did an altar call thing. And he's like, we're going to do an old school altar call. It's like, if you want to follow Jesus, come down here. Hundreds and hundreds of people decided to follow Jesus last week. Wow. It was incredible. One of them was one of my girls in high school. And we had conversations. She's like, about baptism and following Jesus. Mm. And she's like, I've never had like a moment that I can own. Mm. So she made that moment her moment.
Yeah.
And then right afterwards, we're like, this is so cool. And we're celebrating all together. And she looks over and she's going to get baptized tonight.
Wow.
And she looks over at her best friend who had been following Jesus, who'd been working on her never stopped chasing after her. She's like, hey, River said it's okay. Would you be willing to baptize me?
Wow.
And just like,
yeah.
The melt. I'm so like, I'm excited. Yeah. Like, it's friends reaching friends. It's parents reaching kids. It's other parents working and not giving up on other kids. And you're just like, you can't, like, this is the relational investment that, like, this is the laying treasures in heaven stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Jesus is like, this is what it means to follow me.
Yeah.
It's like, work on doing stuff that matters and helping
people.
I'll
give my life to that over and over again.
Yeah. So that stuff is gas in the tank for sure.
That's awesome.
Man.
Sorry, Nick, back
to you. No, you guys are good. This is awesome. I can just let you guys just keep talking. Okay, so you got River touched on it a little bit. You guys have all touched on it. The parents are such a big component of this piece, right? You know, River, you say, and I'm sure you got it somewhere else, that like parents are the primary discipler of their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume so. What would you just, like, if you could speak to all the parents of Grace Church right now, imagine you got the microphone and you could say something to them. What would you say?
Wow.
Me?
Or any of you?
I'll play.
You go. Oh.
No, like it's an all play moment.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll play. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you that we get to partner with you.
Yeah.
And you're doing great.
Yeah.
And you're the right parent for your kid, and no one can replace you. And uh, I'm just so proud of every hard moment that you've gone through with your kid where you decided not to quit. And I'm just grateful that you were willing to partner with us. And we just, if I could just encourage you, mm-hmm. like, just like cling to your father, your heavenly father, as you're being a mom, as you're being a dad. Looked at, like, Elijah was talking with his kid today. I'm like, your parents are parenting you for the first time. They've never parented you before. They have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's okay. So thank you. You are the right parent. You're doing a great job. And when you're not doing a great job, look to Jesus. Yep. And just like know that he put you in that kid's life for a reason, to be the mom, to be the dad that they needed. So that's the gold. That's the gold.
That's gold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everything you just said. Mm-hmm. I think as parents, we think we fail sometimes. And in conversations I've had with kids, like about their parents, I remind them that their parents aren't perfect. And then with parents, I say, you're not perfect. So point them to Jesus, who is.
Mm-hmm.
And make that clear to them. Apologize when you need to and say, hey, this is the first time I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So like, be patient with me too. And remind them, like, there is a God and a Heavenly Father who is perfect. That's who we both go to in that time. But you said you're the right person. Mm-hmm. Like, God picked you, and you know your kid, what's best for them. So just mm-hmm. rely on that, and then find your tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, the other voices in your kid's life, like, you can say something to them like 100 times, and then they'll come home and tell you that someone else told them that, and you're like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I've told you that 100 times, but they hear it differently. Mm-hmm. So like, finding those right godly other voices in their life is worth the time. It's mm-hmm. worth the investment of saying, oh, I'm gonna send my kid to this camp. I mm-hmm. am gonna take them a Wednesday night. I am gonna do this and commit to this, because as much as I can do, I can't fully do it. So I think that's the other really important part, but also a great job.
I have one more thing I just realized.
Oh, go for it.
One of the most, or the two things that you said that was like so good. Saying I'm sorry is like, I just had like one of my adults, like people that I trust, say I'm sorry to me, because they just made a side comment that they were like, oh, that was maybe too far. I don't know if I was able to, I should have said that. And they said, I'm sorry. I'm like, you said you're sorry to me. Like, I'm an adult and I'm hearing that still. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So but anytime a kid hears an adult humble themselves, say, I'm sorry. It's just so huge. When you mess up, own it. And they're like, you gain so much more credit. Oh, so there's that. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, my mom did this for me. And I'm like, it was like, I was a senior in high school and getting too cool to go to church and go to youth group. And she's like, River, you're not there for you. You're there for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just can think of like handfuls of times where my parents just kept giving me like vision for why I'm doing what mm-hmm. I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And like, you're allowed to have your kids do hard things and help them do hard things. So like, but when they don't do it, just make sure you're giving them a vision and helping them understand why. Like, you got that.
It's for sure. So hard.
It is really hard.
Balance the forcing them to do something that you know is good for them, mm-hmm. that you don't want it to like have that backfire. Yeah. And so it is hard. Parenting is hard. I became a step parent 2 years ago, and I like have so much more respect for parents, and I understand things on a different level. And but I'm just like, oh, God entrusted me to this, mm-hmm. you know, and like, I need to wake up thinking about what needs done, but then also not stress so much and trust God in it and all mm-hmm. the things. So,
man,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good. If I were to say something to parents, I'd say you are not alone. Mm-hmm. I would say there's 3 people here that are on your team. There are so many people on your team. I think it is super cool when families can get invested and find other families that are in their same stage, same age maybe even, to see families come around each other, life groups. Yeah. We have a mom's group at our church, just different ways that people are encouraging and loving and pointing others to Christ. Yeah. I am not a parent yet, but the ways that we can help and we can love and we will go to the ends of the earth to do things for you. And so, and to help your child, it is something special to trust your child into the care of others, mm-hmm. Whether it be for an hour on a Sunday or for a week at a camp. Mm-hmm. But we do this because we love your kids and we love your families. And and you're also not alone because the Lord is with you.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said earlier, like just a basic truth of like something, sometimes it's just so hard for it to click. And when it does, mm-hmm. it's like being part of the church. Mm. You are not alone, and Christ is with you, and you've never been alone. And I think it's just something that as I am around parents and have conversations with parents, like, I feel like I'm the only one going through this. I feel like I don't know what to do. I feel like I don't. I'm like, well, let's figure it out together. Like, let's do it together. What's the quote? It's like, if you want to go far, go alone. If you want to go
fast, go alone.
If you want to go far, go together. Yeah. And I think that has a lot of truth in it, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there are other parents and other people and all those things. I think, like, looking at my parents, like, as an adult now and how they parented me, so much was not what they said. It was what they did, even mm-hmm. even when they didn't think I was watching, you know? So, like, the example that you set on the good side and the bad side of that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So remind them you're not perfect.
That might be where the sorry comes in.
But the stuff that sticks with you are just, oh, what did I see you do every day? Oh, how did I see you interact with other people? Taught me how to interact with other people. My eyes look, I have like, we call them God goggles, you know, like I see people the way that God sees people because I watch my parents do that and model that and mess up, but go through it. And then the other people they put in my life. So, yeah.
And as we get older, like we just see our parents in a different light. We're like, oh, that's why my parents chose to do that. I'm like, I think like my family, like mm-hmm. I have four brothers. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did it. Like, mm-hmm. like they're all out of the house and married and functioning. I can't believe we all follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like that's shocking to me. Like mm-hmm. that I'm following Jesus. Like,
which isn't always the case.
No, and it's not always, like, but, it's not. Yeah. But like the more, and like, again, there's like hard stuff that was not perfect, but like the farther away I get like from being that kid, I just see them in a whole other light. And I'm like, I have respect for you guys just trying your best.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And like
parents I talk to through the teenage years are like, any type of like, my kid is doing this. And I, you know, you're an adult. So, you know, like, oh, if you chose this instead, I just am like, can you just like stop for a second and remember what it was like to be that age and like trust that like God is going to protect and God. But like, it's really, really hard because you love them so much and you know, sometimes you're their parent, you know what's best for them, and watching them not choose that is just is hard to do. But you like, you watch them make their own decisions, like you can't force it. You have to just give it to the Lord and pray for it and surround it and do all the things you can. And
it's amazing.
So as we wrap up here, obviously none of this happens without the volunteers, which some of those are parents. What would you say, like, what encouragement would you give to the volunteers right now that make all this possible? Maybe anyone on the edge that of volunteering or hopping in with working with kids, what would you say to them?
I would say that there is a place for you, no matter what your age. I told that story of she's 80, down to, like, I have fourth graders who are chomping at the bit that are like, I can't wait to serve. I'm like, you're still empowered kids. Can you like wait?
I let them.
Yeah. I would just say there's a place for you. It might take some time to find where that is. Mm-hmm. And it isn't always going to look like what you think it might look like. I mean, I just think even on Sundays, there's so many different roles in places. We have people that are nurses that come to junior camp. We have people that serve in the cafeteria. I mean, there is just so many layers of serving. And so even if you're someone that's not a kids person, there are actually ways for you to serve with Power Kids. We have somebody that monthly cuts out all of our supplies for that they use on Sundays. Literally just watches Netflix. She cuts. She's amazing.
And she's a piece of all of that. It takes all of that to make that happen.
Yeah. I would say there's a place for you. And to just to dig in, try to find where that is. Because we all have giftings. I've seen that come out, especially this year too. They all look different, mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean no matter what your age, no matter what your gifting is, that you can't be used. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of something that I would also say to the volunteers, like I say this a lot too, like we could not do it without you. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Emily show. This isn't the Christy show. You know, like this isn't about Power Kids. Isn't by those people.
It might be the River
Show.
I mean, look at me.
Like Power Kids isn't about the people that are on the staff. It is literally about the people who show up on Sundays every single day, week in and week out. And so, like, we see that investment. We need that investment. We've talked so much about kids being impacted by the one person who served. I was talking with somebody on her steering team literally on Sunday, and it's this couple, and they led a young adults ministry for a little bit at our campus, and then they served in the fours and fives together as a married couple for like 11 years or something like that. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing to me. Like, I need more of you guys.
I love when families serve together with their kids even.
I love it. So I would just say, yeah, thank you, because we could not do without you. It's literally not possible.
I'm going to read something and just say something really quick. The fruit that you're looking for when you're serving, it's kind of like it sometimes gets really hard to see the fruit. I remember that in Power Kids, you're like, man, is this 4-year-old understanding anything I'm saying? And is this middle school care at all? Does this kid care at all? Does this high schooler just gonna go blow up his life? Mm. And there's something that my grandparents, they highlighted for me, and it changed my life. And it says this. It's in John 15. It's verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Mm-hmm. The most loving thing that anyone's ever done for me is show up for me over and over and over and over and over again, even when I didn't deserve it. And here's the thing I'm realizing a lot more and more of is some of those people that showed up for me. One of my life group leaders is a sophomore, junior, and senior. His name's James. I don't see him anymore, but man, the fact that he just was there every week without fail, he'll never know how much he impacted me. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll never know. You know, when you know, you'll know at the end. So the fruit's at the end. You'll see it in heaven. This stuff has eternal ramifications. Mm. And sometimes you get to have the win, and you see a salvation, you see a baptism, you see a moment where Jesus just sinks a little deeper. Mm-hmm. But man, even when you don't see it, please know that it's there. Mm-hmm. It's at the end, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus will look at you and he'll say, well done.
Yeah. We always say that baptism is the fruit of ministry, getting to see the stories and hear this, you know, see the life change and hear the stories and stuff. But
I was going to say, as we kind of talk, there's a little bit of tears behind the words.
Oh, yeah.
And I think as we talk from personal experiences, I'm a crier, so this is just a normal thing for me. But I'm as we talk about our personal experiences, but then also watch it with other people, mm-hmm. We get, dusty eyes, because it's it is so relational and it's so personal, but it also just reflects the love of Christ so much that it's mm-hmm. you can't help but not be overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So using the Bible, I love that. Love one another. So in training, I always tell people that dogs can smell fear and kids can smell love. Mm. So when you show up and you can let go of the distraction of your life and really just love them, it's showing up is literally 90% of it. But then love... lets you look past the behavior. Love lets you look past the frustration of, mm-hmm. I mean, children's ministry, there's definitely frustration in it. But when you have that impact, it is life-changing in a child's life. So I always tell people, we have fun things here at Grace Church, but what really keeps a kid coming back is the relationships that they build with our volunteers. We can only handle 5 kids, but when you show up too, the more and more kids that we can impact, and the greater, just the greater impact we have on the life of a child, and that can transform a family and all the way down. So,
mm-hmm. You want to add this last thing? Sorry, last thing. You know my favorite thing is
the river show. End it.
It is. God, it says, I chose you not to do nothing. I chose you to go and bear fruit.
Mm.
That will last. Will last. Like, for sure. Doesn't go away. Doesn't fade. It will last. So, if I think just this is a heart check moment for you. It's like, Jesus definitely chose you. Am I going and doing what he called me to do? Looking for opportunities to go bear fruit.
Mm.
And an easy way to do that is hop into Power Kids. I know there's a bunch of 4 and 5 year olds that need you.
You tell them, tell them.
I know, I know. I know
preach,
there's
Pastor
Rick. I know there's middle schoolers that really need you so bad. Please help me. But there's middle schoolers, there's high schoolers, there's Power Kids and young adults even who just need someone to be there and to be a voice in their life. So if you're looking for an opportunity to go and see some fruit or that will last, hop in.
Show up.
Please hop in. Show up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah. And final thing, and then I will wrap up. I'm just going to share a story. River knows this. Actually, tonight is going to be one of our final times with a man named Jason Dara, who's been serving in high school ministry in different churches, but has been so faithful for 30 years. Yeah. And like, I'm just like thinking about it. And there's like kids that are high school group that show up and are just like so different when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is he's not the super extroverted one. He's literally just the dad. He's like, he's there. He brings pizza. He plays some basketball. He talks a little bit. And, but he's there every single week. And he's now going to Stark. He's been at Stark North.
Yeah.
And they're starting something up at Stark North. This is like his fourth high school ministry that he's like a part of starting, which is insane. And so it's just that thing of like, if you don't quit, you win.
Faithfulness
and like,
over time.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you might say something about Jason. I was like, dude, I just think about him all day.
I hope he hears this.
Yeah, I hope so. You should send this to him.
I will.
Yeah. But man, I love him so much. And it's like one of those moments where he's like one of those dads for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, even if everyone else isn't here, if Jason's here, man, we're going to be okay. Like, it's just one of those. It's the Jason effect.
It's true. And you guys could speak to this. I know you could of like when you're serving faithfully alongside people, when you do that for a long time, like we know we're brothers and sisters with our fellow Christ followers, but like you really get to experience that fellowship when you're serving alongside them. There's nothing, like my cousin once said, he's like, there's a ton of things that you could do for me. He's like, the best thing you could do for me is pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I just think about that all the time. And like, I think of the Jason Daras and the people that just consistently show up and say, I'm going to be here. And that we get to like pray alongside, for these kids and for everyone. And so that's pretty fantastic. And speaking of prayer, I got to do our, plug for our 30 and 30 prayer calls. We do monthly prayer calls here at Grace Church where you can hear what God is doing at Grace, where he's taken us, and you get to pray with us about what we're asking the Lord to do. A lot of it is a part of this, of raising up the next generation. Are we going to send out new campuses? Who's going to go do that? Praying that God may raise up the workers and give us the opportunities to do that. So if you engage with this conversation and enjoyed this and care about the next generation, I really encourage you to go in the description below, go into the show notes or whatever, and check out how to join these 30 and 30 prayer calls. They are worth it. I know we've all been a part of them in some type of way, and they're just a fruitful time. And so we would love for you to join that. And with that, we can't wait to see you next time.